Hello, everyone. Come on in. We are going to be doing Thoughts 2.0 today. We're actually not wrapping it up. So I want to give you guys some good information, but let me get suited real quick. I am a little untidy at the moment. And I will tell you what's so funny is when I come on a Zoom call, like these rando hairs of mine, they look so tidy in the mirror in my bathroom. I come down here where there's all the light and I'm like, oh my God, rando hairs. And I look like I didn't even comb my damn hair before the call started, which is funny because sometimes I don't comb my hair before our calls when I'm coming in hot from the treadmill. But today it was actually an intentional hairstyle that just doesn't look combed. Woo, Corinne. All right. So we are continuing our work on Thoughts 2.0 today. Here's what I want you guys to do. You can use the chat to talk about things. Yes, guys, some of you will not have video. What we've been telling everyone is, number one, you got to have the latest Zoom updates. If you don't have the latest Zoom updates, sometimes that will, like, you know, your device, whatever you're using, may not be working with Zoom. So always make sure you have the latest Zoom updates. And then the other thing is, if that doesn't work, I would contact Zoom. So No BS doesn't own Zoom. Obviously, Zoom is its own thing. So if you're not getting video, you would need to contact them. There's really nothing tech on our side that we can do about it. That's a Zoom thing. So, okay, here we are. Oh, and also sometimes just going out and coming back in for some reason will clear it up. If you can't hear or if you can't see, like you can do like I do often. I'm just like, if something's not working, I just go all the way out, come back in on things. And I'm like, oh, must have been like just some kind of magic glitch. I'm not sure. So today, what we're going to do is we are going to rock and roll because I have a lot of information to cover for today's topic. But I will just tell you, I have been studying, I study thought work all the time anyway. But this month, I really started not only doing more of my own work, which I know sounds crazy talk to all of you because you probably think, don't you do a lot of thought work? And I do. I do a whole lot of thought work, but I've spent this last month kind of doing extra and really listening and just being super intentional about it, not only to clean up my little old shitty brain, but to figure out what is working for me and why. So well, how did that happen? What is the process that was really going on in my brain? So I've been looking at it and I found basically two things that we hadn't even covered yet in Thoughts 2.0. So today I'm teaching one of them on the tail. It's part of what we had already decided, which is like wiggling out of a thought. That's going to be today's topic. So far what we've covered is week one, it was all about thought switching. Thought switching is where you catch old shitty and you know it feels bad and you know that it causes you to do things that you don't want to do, which means that you're not going to get towards your goals. You're going to create results that you really don't want in your life. Then it's like, okay, so I found old shitty. I want to think this. Here's my new thought. So that is thought switching. Thought switching is simply just I catch a thought, and this is the basic way we do it. I catch a thought. I come up with something I could think. I don't really believe it yet. I might like the thought. I know it feels better and all this other stuff. It's just not sticky. So in thought switching, the whole point of it is I'm catching some thoughts that need new thoughts with them. I need something that's going to counter this one. I may not believe it yet. It may feel very disingenuous at first, but I know it could be useful for me if I can figure out how to start believing it. And so when we do thought switches, we're just really, guys, allowing ourselves to believe there's something else that could be true. Something else could be true. And it's this. And this does feel better than what I've been thinking. So it's good for me to start teaching my brain that when this old shitty comes in, we want to think this. This is what we want to believe and think. And even if I don't believe it, even if it feels disingenuous, fake as fuck, I have to 5,462 times tell myself this new thought. This is the one I'm going to act from because I know that this thought creates this feeling. And when I feel this way, here's how I show up in life. So when we thought switch, it's here's what I normally think. Here's what I think on default. I've caught it. I know how I feel. I'm always like, I will feel this one. I know how I show up. And now I'm going to on purpose think this one because I know that if I get used to it, my life can change. It will start creating this feeling eventually. And here's what this person does when they think it. So today I'm going to be thinking and feeling old shitty, but I'm going to be also thinking and doing new hotness. All right. That's thought switch in a nutshell. Then we covered last week, amplifying, turning up and turning down. What makes that one different is very simple. You've already caught old shitty. You've worked on it. You've been practicing new thoughts. You've been doing the things. You no longer need to investigate your old shitty. It's like, oh, this is the habit thought. This will be the one that will automatically, 100% of the time, be queued up in my brain. Like, that's the one that, you know, that will always trigger. It will be the first thing that I think. And I know it's useless. I have, like, I might still believe it and stuff. Like, sometimes I believe it. Sometimes it feels very real. But at the end of the day, like, I've looked at it so much. It's like, and it's some bullshit. Like, it's literally just bullshit. I no longer tolerate this thought. So when we talk about amplifying and turning up, turning down, that means that when that one comes in now, we are going to on purpose tell ourselves, oh, stop thinking that. I don't think that anymore. That's not a thought I entertain anymore. We don't sit like most of you, what you do is you get to the point where you can do the amplifying, turning up, turning down, but you add a step, which is I find it, I feel sorry for myself, or I get super pissed at it. I wish it would go away. I act like a big ass dramatic titty baby about it. Wonder why it's so hard to do thought work. Sit around acting like this is some fucking confusing hard thing to do. When all I really need to do is like, hey, we don't talk like for me, it's like when I start going ham on my legs on the inside, my brain is always teed up to like go nuts. Like, ooh, your legs are too big. Oh, those scars. Ugh, you've got so much loose skin. Like, I know my brain's going to do that. I get it. I'm not fighting with it anymore. You know what I say? We don't entertain that anymore. That's not what we think about anymore. And then I turn up what I am going to think about. Like, you know, you lost 100 pounds could be one of them. It could be, you got shit to do today. What your legs look like don't matter. Like, I get to amplify anything I want. If I want to fall in love with my legs, I can say, yeah, but when you bend over, I can see your hamstring. I can think anything I want. So I'm going to turn up the volume of something else. And I'm turning down the volume on the old shitty. This one, the key to success is you cannot sit around and hate on old shitty. All that does is create a think, feel, do cycle in the middle that you get stuck in. So it's like you'll have an old shitty and then you get stuck in a new old shitty of like, oh my God, this is how I think. I'm so broken. If I wasn't thinking this way, this is what makes me overeat. Like, you just whine. Whine, whine, whine. It's some crap. That's when you know it's time to like turn some shit down. So that new middle think, feel, do cycle is, oh yeah, that's not how I think anymore. Even if your brain offers it 500 times a day, you tell yourself, oh yeah, that's not how I think anymore. You've got to give your brain some fucking instruction. You're the mama of the room. You are the boss. Your conscious brain tells old habit brain what the fuck's going on. Y'all quit sitting around being the victim of your own brain. It feels like ass and it's helpless and ain't no BS woman in here. Some kind of precious ass chick that needs saving. Save yourself. So anyway, so you're going to use your reasoning brain to do so. So you're going to turn up the thoughts. That is turning up and turning down thoughts. It is as simple as that. So when you say like, oh yeah, that's not what we think anymore. When you say like, oh yeah, that's just a thought error. When you think, oh, it's just my habit brain. It's just like, oh yeah, one of these days that thought's going away. Here's what I am going to think. So you got to turn up the volume on things in your life that you want to believe. It does not even have to be like, oh, my legs are so sexy. You know what I could turn the volume up on? I have an amazing family. I'm so blessed to do the work that I do. I mean, I can sit around and have shit thoughts about my body, or I can sit around and turn up the volume on stuff that's good in my life. So you don't always have to rectify the old shitty of this. So it's like, oh my gosh, I'm just turning that down so I can train my brain to get used to thinking about things I like thinking about. Hallelujah. Amen. And today we're going to wiggle out of thoughts. This is going to be the third way. All right. So before we get into wiggling this week, you need to have watched module two, these lessons, do goals. Do goals is a new one inside of No BS, the weight loss course. You want to watch it because it's, if you went to January camp, this was the first real introduction on do goals that I did. This is now inside of No BS. We re-recorded it and we explained it. So you're going to want to watch that lesson. The next one is the one called Breaking Diet Thinking. So you're going to want to watch that. And then you're going to want to watch the next steps video. So this week we are completing the last few lessons and the last few videos inside of the No BS weight loss course. And then on page 41 and 42 of your Thoughts 2.0 resource guide, we have given you a 25 do goals that we blew out as a No BS team. So we wanted to give you an example of like, all right, when we're talking about do goals, what are they? What do they look like? How should I be writing them in so that you have total clarity on what's going on? So you have a resource in there and it's a new one and it's the 25 do goals blown out for you. Honestly, if it was me, I'd find some and a copy paste straight into my journals, straight into my 24-hour plans. I'm always going to take the easy way. Corinne ain't going to do no extra thinking unless she needs to. I am a big believer in save my brain power. Now, coming up next week, because we have a bonus week inside of June, we wanted to make sure that we do something spectacular. So we are doing Encore Week next week. This means that we are going to have, and a lot of you are newer to No BS, you have not been able to do this, and it is so much fun. We are having the Doable Hunger Challenge Week. So, I mean, members wait for us to do one of these. What it means is we like check your newsletter. We're going to be sending it all out on Sunday. Every day we are giving you a Doable Hunger Challenge. And we put a spin on it for all our elders so that you're not just like, is it going to be the same old shit we've always done? It's a no. We're giving you, it's like a would you rather. So you get to pick your fucking poison every single day. So it's, we're going to give you an option one, option two. Would you rather do this or would you rather do that? And we're giving you all of that so that from going forward, anytime accountability groups want to do a doable hunger challenge, you could do it. So we wanted to make sure we gave you something during Encore Week that you can not only do next week, and we're going to do some thought work around it, but that you could use with your challenge groups or your accountability groups. You can use your accountability partner. You can use the Doable Hunger Challenge. If you see a stall on the scale, let's say the scale is stalled, you feel like you're doing, I'm doing all the things, but you know, like, you know, all the things is 100% on your habit tracker, but a lot of you, all the things is like 78% of the time I'm following my plan and 67% of the time I'm doing my doable hunger. Bitch, please. So anyway, you can use this to bust stalls and plateaus, to challenge yourself when you notice your numbers aren't where they need to be, to kind of like test things and stuff. So it'll be a really good resource. And everybody has been in love with our co-journaling classes. So next week, we're going to do three of those. I explained it last week. You can go to your go to nobswomen.com. Sign in, and then you will be able to see the training calendar. We added three co-journaling calls for next week at very random times so that people all over the globe, West Coast, you know, just all kinds of things so that you guys would have some opportunities to attend live if you wanted to. And the cool thing about the co-journaling is we're going to journal about some doable hunger shits coming up. So they're very themed around like, all right, we're going to do some co-journaling and get to the bottom of some of the thoughts we have around the doable hunger and what's coming up for us as we do the challenge. We're also, y'all should just be like, if y'all were here, we could all high five over this and shoot up like a fucking confetti cannon. We've also given you a co-journaling template. So that for all the accountability groups, if you guys want to start having Zoom calls on your own to do co-journaling, we devised a template for you guys so that you can get on a Zoom call together and journal together and go through the process. We created a template for you of like how it should run, what questions to ask, all that kind of stuff. And then next week, the final Q&A call that I do on Wednesday, like this is a Q&A call. Technically, this has been a teaching call this month, but this next Wednesday, the final one is going to be this new process that I think is going to be a game changer. As I did my own work, I came up with the thought reveal process. And so I'm going to teach you all about it next Wednesday. It's really good for a lot of you to, number one, understand, like, I like when you say, like, I don't know what it is I'm thinking, I just eat. I'm going to teach you how to do what we call a thought reveal so that you can find those thoughts and where you can also experience some of your harder times to not overeat or whatever, like whatever's going on. But how do you experience it in a way where you can immediately drop into, my job is to watch it, not to be caught up in my shit of like, oh my God, this is going to suck. Oh my God, it's always so hard for me. No, I thought about it all last week and I've wrote it out. I've done like all the things around it. And I'm going to teach you that process next week, next Wednesday. And that's how we're going to close out Thoughts 2.0. We're taking the best of Basics 2.0 and Thoughts 2.0. We're going to do Encore Week to solidify all our knowledge. All right, let's review thoughts versus facts, because none of this shit matters if you don't understand the difference between a thought versus a fact. So first, guys, the facts happen outside of you. So when you are doing your journal entries and you are looking, like the first step before you can come up with new thoughts and stuff is you really need to know those facts. This is important because if you don't know the facts, then you're going to have something you feel bad about and you're going to be changing your thoughts around something you believe is just bad and it's not going to stick. That's why we have you separate out thoughts versus facts. If you really don't understand it, watch all the co-journaling classes because the coaches are taking us through like, that's a thought, that's a fact. Nope, that's a fact. Nope, or that's a thought, that's a thought, that's a thought. It's like turbo jamming on how to figure out the difference between a thought and a fact. They don't have feelings attached to them. So if you think something's a fact and it feels bad, you've got to take that one sentence and like, all right, so what is actually the fact here? What would most people in the world agree with me on? And you got to think about most people in the world. That includes people who don't believe the shit you believe. It's like, could I take this to Judge Judy and she'd agree with me? Because she's always looking for the facts. It also, there's no adjectives. So adverbs. Facts are very boring. Facts are something where if you boil down your story, your journal entry, into only the facts, people would have a snooze fest listening to you. It would not be exciting. No one would want to know more. They would feel like they knew everything they needed. Like, oh, okay. And they wouldn't be feeling sorry for you. They wouldn't be all upset with you. They wouldn't be excited for you. They wouldn't be doing anything for you because the facts of a story do not communicate emotion. Examples, actual words someone said to you. Somebody said, I suck. Like my manager said, I suck is a fact. My bitch ass manager said, I suck is not. My manager said, I suck and he shouldn't have is not a fact. I don't care what your HR beliefs are. He shouldn't have is your thought, because that automatically makes you feel bad. It doesn't mean you'd be like, oh, I agree with that. I suck. But you want to know that the thought he shouldn't have is the one hosing you. If your thought is, and I'm drawing a line in the sand with him, very different, very different feeling. I'm better than that. Very different feeling. That's why I want you to like be like, open your mind up to what's really a fact. Letting go of your thoughts around it, like just being like, let me just set all my thoughts aside. Does it justify people's behaviors or make facts okay? What it does is it allows you to have the choice in your own brain as to what you want your intentional thinking to be, so that you get the best result in life for you. This is like the time we get to be really selfish. When you're cleaning up facts versus thoughts, it's selfish. It's all for you. Ain't nobody else benefiting, and ain't nobody else getting hurt, and ain't nobody else getting scapegoated. None of that's going on. It's simply so that you can get your brain straight on, if these are the facts and here are all my thoughts, is this serving me at my highest capacity? Because I'm the only one thinking it. So that means I'm the only one experiencing it. So if I want my experience of this to be different, my thinking has to change. And that means I've got to know the difference between what a fact and a thought is. All right. The thoughts are the sentences in your brain that are your interpretations of what's going on. So it's your interpretation of what this call is like. You know, some of you are like, oh my God, she's cranky today. Oh my God, she's on a roll. Oh my God, she's yelling right at me. Oh my God, she's telling me everything I need to hear. Oh my God, she's making me feel bad. Oh my God, I say that, good to know. For every person on this call right now, there's an interpretation of every word that's come out of my mouth. And all of you are having different ones. And that's what we want to understand. Everything I'm saying to you is your fact. Everything you think about what I say, my tone, my intentionality, what you make it mean about you, what you make it mean about the program, all that kind of stuff, that's all your interpretation. And it's just good to know. So all of your thoughts and your interpretations are typically based on your past. Most of the time, our default interpretations, our default thinking, our default assumptions about things, our brain naturally goes first to the past because that's the only thing it truly knows. It's like, well, let me go to the past first and try to figure out how to think about this. The problem is our past is usually full of other interpretations that are bullshit. And so we keep going back to our past where all the bullshit thinking lies, and we're trying to create the thinking that we want to have today. Also, a lot of your interpretations are learned thinking. So the vast majority of the way that we think about things are like our morals, our standards, our rules, like just how we think and feel about the world and ourselves and people and stuff, all pretty much got formulated by the time we were the age of 12. So I want you to imagine all of us no-BS women. If we were all in a big room, all 10,400 something of us, we're all in a big room together, it would be like a 12-year-old mental convention. That's what we got, y'all. So it's good to know, because your default thinking comes from those 12-year-old versions of your like interpretations. It comes from a lot of the things that people have said, this is what we believe, and this is how you should act. And magazines say like, and this is what a woman's body should look like. And the diet industry says, and this is how you should lose weight. All of that's been like kind of just handed to you. And your brain just absorbs it, puts it on repeat. That's the habit and the default thinking. So one of the things that you need to know when it comes to facts versus thoughts is that you're going to separate them out, and some facts that you find are useful and some facts are not useful. some facts, when you think about them, might trigger automatically old shitty, old shitty, old shitty. So sometimes what you want to do is you want to keep boiling down a fact until it makes sense for you. It's like, it's, oh, so when I have a fact said this way, it's so much easier for me now to have better thoughts. Let me give you an example. I was coaching someone the other day on divorce. So she's divorced, been divorced a couple times. And her fact, first, her fact was, because I'm divorced, I'll never be loved by a man or have children. And I was like, that's not the fact. She said, well, the fact is, I'm divorced twice and don't have children. I said, okay, well, let's separate that out into two different facts, first of all. Do you want to, like, when you think I'm divorced twice, we could all pretty much agree, because she has papers, that that's true. But when she thinks about being divorced twice, her brain just is like, bad thing, bad thing, bad thing, automatically. I was like, so is this a useful fact? Or could we maybe say, I'm currently not married? Also very true. Also, a lot of us could argue it in a court of law and be like, I approve. And when she was like, what? You mean I could like describe my current life as I'm currently not married? I was like, yeah. And I said, so like when you think about your fact that way, what happens inside? She's like, I started thinking about like possibility, like my future. Like I start thinking about things that could happen for me. And I said, then that's exactly why we want to get real clear on facts. So you not only want to just get clear on your facts, you want to make sure you're stating them in a way that works for you. So always remember that. That's a, like one of the best examples I have of thinking about your facts. You don't have to just stop at, now this is a fact. You get to think about your fact is it the most useful way stated for me so that it is easy for my brain to come up with different feelings? You will feel in your body, try on facts, manipulate the fact line and think like, watch your body, feel into your body. A lot of times what people will say, and I feel this, is when something is said in a new way, I will be just like, you know, kind of like almost like closed off. Like I will like kind of roll my shoulders forward, but I will feel not real open, like almost like in a protective. I'm not talking about tense, but a lot of times you'll just kind of feel blocked. And somebody will say something and you'll say like, what? And it's almost like you feel your chest expand, your body, like when it, like has like that, like, what'd you just say moment? Notice how in your body, if it starts to feel suddenly like more open, less constricted, you're on the right track, especially with a fact or a thought. And then the other thing is like a lot of us, like I want to give you like an example of in food terms, kind of how this goes, like to separate a fact from a thought. Other day in Facebook, someone had said that their fact was, I want to eat something that looked good, not because of actual hunger. When you say this, guys, this is a thought. It's not a fact. Now, you could argue, well, like I had hunger signals or what is it? Oh, not because of actual hunger. Well, I felt, you know, like I know I didn't have any hunger signals. Like there's lots of ways that somebody could go in and try to justify that this is factual. And a lot of times what we do is we take a thought like this that feels true and but it feels true. So it must be a fact. True is just a feeling. That's all it is. But you really want to look at it from, it may feel true, but is it still a thought? Like what would make this more factual? So when we look at this one, the real fact, I saw food. Whatever the food was, I saw it sitting there. The thought then becomes, I want to eat it. It looks good, but I'm not hungry. That's the thought. And that thought creates the urge. The reason why I wanted to bring this up is because a lot of you are like, what's next? What's next? What do I do after Thoughts 2.0? Next month is going to be Judith Gatton, and she's going to be taking us through body image, a lot of thought work around our body image and stuff like that. But if you really want to start working on the eating side, you can always go to module 3. We talk a lot about the think, feel, do cycle in terms of your overeating in module 3. If it's been a minute since you've taken it, for all of my elders, I would suggest going through module 3 where you're at now. If it's more important for you right now to work on the eating than it is to work on your body and your relationship with yourself. Some of you can do both at the same time, but I would highly recommend when we're coming off of Thoughts 2.0, if you feel more of a connection to working on the eating, then I would look at module 3 and no BS. So that brings us all the way. Now that we know thoughts versus facts, this brings us all the way to, let me hang on just a second, wiggling out of your thoughts. So when we wiggle out of a thought, so I've already explained what happens with a thought switch versus turning up, turning down. And now today we're doing the third piece, which is wiggling out. Wiggling out means that when you have two thoughts that are competing with each other, old shitty and a new hotness, but both feel equally as true now. So when we're thought switching, new hotness doesn't feel true yet. Not at all. Old shitty is the one that feels true. We're just like practicing new hotness, getting used to redirecting our brain, teaching our brain the new place to go. And now we're going to take action from there because we're going to tell ourselves we're overriding our other thoughts, our old shitties. In wiggling out of a thought, what's happened is that you have old shitties that keep coming back. And you have these new thoughts that you also believe. So both of them are now feeling true. And they're just called competing thoughts. So it's like your brain offers up one and your brain says this one. They both feel equally as true. Guess which one you need to consciously decide that wins? I would suggest the new one. And it's like, it's kind of like thinking, I believe this and I believe this at the same time. So it's like, I believe... I have an example. I got it out of order. I believe this food is hard to say no to. So let's take nachos. So like, you know, I still kind of believe that nachos are hard to say. Like a lot of times when I think about going and having nachos, this is such a good example. My habit brain always says, it'll be hard to stop eating because they're going to taste really good and you love them. Which I can find all kinds of evidence. It feels very true to me. Yes, nachos taste great. Ooh, yeah. Like, I don't mind getting full sometimes. Like, I can find all the evidence I want for it. But I know this. I also know that it's easier for me to stop when I'm paying attention. That feels very true, too. So a lot of times it's like, this food is hard to say no to, but it's getting easier. Is when we have what we call, we're wiggling out of a thought. We're wiggling out of the belief that food is hard. So for me, it's like with the nachos, it's like, it'll be hard to stop eating once I get started. But then there's another part of me that believes is equally as true is, well, as long as you pay attention, you're not going to have any problems. Just pay it. Like, I'll just be like, well, just pay attention. Like, it seems like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like, there's a strong part of me that believes that too. Like, I'm not sitting around going like, oh my God, when the hell am I going to quit believing nachos are hard? Or, you know, like, oh my God, it's been 15 years. You mean you still have a hard time with nachos? Can y'all even imagine? I would never talk to myself that way anymore. But it's because I've done thought switching. I've done amplifying. And I am now okay with having competing thoughts. It's not a big deal. So, I want you to look at it this way. Your habit brain is always going to naturally be offering old shitties, especially in the beginning, especially when you're losing weight, in the middle, at the very end, when you're in maintenance, your habit brain's job is to load up some old shitties. And what's funny about your old shitties is that they may go away for a little while, but then you'll have some new fact or some new circumstance. You'll lose X amount of pounds, or you'll wear a new size of clothes or something else. And it will trigger some of this old thinking again. It's like, hey, let me come back up. You're at a new stage in life. You sure you want to get rid of me? I'm back, bitch. So your habit brain naturally offers old shitty. Your conscious and your reasoning brain, its job is to negotiate with the habit brain or reply to the habit brain with a new thought that you also believe. So when we're ready to wiggle out of the thought, yeah, my cards are never clear because I don't write well. So thanks a lot, y'all. Just kidding. But I don't write very well. So your conscious brain is, its job is literally to be listening for old shitty, listening to the habit brain and saying like, yeah, but we also believe this. And we'll do this. And it's not a big deal because of this. That's when you know you're ready for like doing a lot of thought wiggling, okay? The thing about it to remember is both feel true. Thought switching is opening the door to a new thought. Amplifying is turning down something useless and turning up something different or useful. And wiggling is holding both at the same time and not giving a shit about it. And knowing that that's normal. By the time that you have two thoughts that feel equally true, I want you to be patting yourself on the back. I mean, I really want you to think about this. When you have an old shitty come in and you have a new hotness that's starting to take hold and you believe both, you've done some work. You are what I would consider someone who is now like getting masterful at your own self-coaching. You are actively learning how to shift beliefs in yourself. When you can literally hold two competing beliefs at the same time and go through life, you might as well say, Mecca, I have arrived. That's about the apex. I think a lot of you think that you're going to get to, oh, I'm going to like keep doing this work, and I'm just going to have like all the time good thoughts. And you over, like you think when you have a useless thought in old shitty that something's going wrong. I must not be doing these things right. Thought work must be hard. I must be broken. This isn't working. A lot of you have thoughts like that when old shitty arrives. None of that's true. You're just going through life with a brain. The real skilled person drops that judgment and just starts figuring out, do I need a thought switch? Is this a thought that I know comes back for a long time? And it's just like, it's a no. We're not even entertaining you today. We're going to think about these things. We got better fish to fry today. Or like, yeah, that feels true. And so does this. Good to know. I'm glad I'm believing new things. Do not get confused. You cannot get this wrong. Don't be sitting there and being one. And I know somebody out there right now is listening to this. I'm like looking straight at you. The person who's thinking, oh my God, like I found some thoughts. I don't know which one to use. Which one's the best? Don't fall into the shit ass trap of thinking that this is hard and confusing. Pick fucking one of them. Always start with thought switching first. If you want like a default, start on number one. Start with thought switching. It's not hard until you believe the story that it is. Guys, get better at making decisions. Just decide right now. I'm just going to pick one. I'll try some thought switching for a week, and then I'll see if I'm ready to amplify. I'll know. Just always believe you'll know. All your brain needs in real honesty is your willingness to hear thoughts, think some new ones, and then go do based on how you want to be thinking. Start aligning your daily actions with the person who thinks like this. The person who thinks like this would make this decision in this moment. The person that thinks like this shows up in this moment this way. However that is. So the keys to this is patience and proving and disproving. So again, your habit brain is just your default thinking. You are not to get mad at it. You are in, don't get mad. Your ace in the hole, like guys, literally, your ace in the hole is your reasoning brain, is the part of your brain that's going to tell your habit brain what to do with old shitty. Literally, that's mental ninja work. That is all you need. You don't need anything more complicated than that. I promise all of you. So I've been thinking about this. I'm like, how the fuck did I come up with new beliefs? Because I believed. So when I first started, I believed that I was going to get started. And then once I got started, my belief shifted to, I believed I was going to figure out. I didn't know what the end result was going to be. I didn't know where I was going with it, but I was just going to figure out how to lose me some weight. It's like, I can believe that one. I can believe weight loss is losing hard. But at the same time, I was like, I believe I can start tomorrow. I believe I can start with these things. So I held those competing beliefs. Then I got to where I was doing shit and things were happening. It was like, I can believe that weight loss is hard. At the same time, I started believing that it was working. And then I had another epiphany. I believed that it could be hard for me to lose all of my weight. Then I started believing I might be able to do it. So they change and they morph. So as you're thinking about just like how I built the business, how I created beliefs around Logan. You know, I used to think he would never not live with us. I used to think he'd just, you know, he'd never have a future, that I'd have to say, I had all these shitty thoughts about him that felt so true and so real in my life. It's like, well, so how did I become someone that believes completely new things? And now, like, the old stuff comes back sometimes, but it's easier for me to refute it and believe something new than it is to argue for why the old is true and like have to prove to myself something new is true. So I came up with a process on creating a new belief. It's brand new material. We all going to be doing it. My team is going to put this together in a template or worksheet style formula for you guys. We just don't have it today because I literally got up at 4:45 this morning, sat with the Game of Thrones playing in the background, mapped out several iterations of it until I was like, this is the process. I've been talking about it for a few days, but I didn't really have it conceptualized. So they got it from me late. But I was not going to teach you guys a process and have them develop something unless I had the one I wanted. And now I got the one I wanted. It just happened to skirt on in here early in the morning. So number one, creating new belief. First thing you got to do is you got to find old shitty and you got to find your new hotness. So it's just like what we do in the think, feel, do cycle. I'm currently thinking, I could be thinking. So when we're wiggling out of a thought, this is for when you're really wiggling out of a thought, you can use it in all the other stages and it will help you get to this stage. But I would do this over and over and over again with thoughts that you really, your beliefs that you really want to change. So number one is you find them. Number two, and I'm going to show you how this all can look on paper in just a moment, so don't get too caught up. You're going to list thoughts you have that support both. So you're going to have old shitty, the belief, like weight loss is hard. I'll always be overweight. It's in my genes, whatever it is. You know, a lot of us have like these core beliefs. I'm not good enough. I can never build a business. You know, like I coach some of you guys on just business stuff. Every now and then I'll do side things where people have reached out and they're like, you know, can you do a workshop? Can you do these things? And it's the same mindset. It's weight loss. I don't believe I can do it. I can't make 100K this year. I can't do these things. And so you just want to put that up there. And then underneath it, you want to write your book of lies. The book of lies is this thought. Like when I say I can't lose weight because I failed so many diets, because my mom told me I was fat when I was a kid, because I love Oreos too much. I have no control over food. Whatever your basically your book of lies is that you've collected and that you repeat, and you're just like, and that proves old shitty true. And that proves old shitty true. And this is why. Pretend you're on a coaching call with me and I'm asking you, and you're like, but you don't understand. Corinne, I this, I that, blah, 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 blah. And all of it's going to feel true. But I want you to call it your book of lies, because all of them are thoughts. Even if you want to try to make it a fact, it's not even a useful fact, whatever you got in there. And then you're going to do the same thing on the other side. You're going to have your new hotness belief, the one that you're starting to think is true. And you're going to put your book of truth underneath it. Why is it true? What's changing in your life? What are you doing differently now? What's going on? How are you showing up every day? What new thoughts do you actually do believe that you're just not giving enough credit to? So you're going to have old shitty in the book of lies. You're going to have new hopness, and you're going to have the book of truth. The third step is you're going to prove and disprove each one of those book of lies and each one of the book of truths. So we're going to disprove the book of lies. Like, why is this wrong? Why is this thought not true? And we're going to go over to new hotness. We're going to do the same thing with the book of truth. Why is this true? What evidence do I have to prove that this is really happening? The reason why this is important is because most of us, what we do is we have our old shitty, and we'll have all the reasons why we think it's true. We'll come up with new hotness and all the things that we want to think. And then we'll prove, like, okay, like I want to think this, and it's true because of this. We'll do a lot of trying to prove the new thought. But if old shitty is sitting over there feeling true the whole time, and we're not disproving all those thoughts, it's very hard to get the new stuff to stick long term. It might stick some. It might feel better. You might feel yourself like feeling like it's true. But this isn't getting debunked. That's the key. The old thinking has to be debunked. The new thinking has to be created and proven true. All of that's got to be happening. That's how you really massage new thoughts. So you're probably asking me, well, how often do I need to do this? Blah, blah, blah. As often as you want them damn thoughts to change. If it was me and I'm working on a really hardcore belief, really want to believe something new, I'd probably do this at least once a week. I would do this exercise once a week so that your brain is getting repetitions of going through it. Don't look at what you wrote the last time. Just whatever your old shitty belief is, whatever your new hotness is, then do it all fresh. Then compare each time you do it to see, is my thinking changing? Is it growing, evolving? Do I notice I'm feeling different? So step four is, after you do, well, I'm going to show you the grid in a minute. After you do it, I just want you to answer two simple questions. Believing this new hotness is true will mean my life will change like what? You want to give your brain a chance to see that when I'm practicing believing this new thing, this is how my life will change. These are the amazing things I can expect. Knowing that these old shitties aren't true helps me what? You need to prove to your mind that when I debunk these, when I start telling myself all the reasons why this isn't true, this is helpful because it allows me to. So you want to answer those two questions. One of the things that's powerful in thought work is not only to like come up with new thoughts and prove why it's happening and all this other stuff, but is to let your brain anchor into, oh, this would be the result of all this new thinking. This is what life would look like if I just allow myself to get into these mindsets. So here's what the grid looks like. You can take a screenshot, but I promise you guys, it will not take us long to get you a worksheet and a template. So I know some of you are just like, I just want it right now. I'm going to put it up here and hold it for a minute. Hopefully that worked. I know my handwriting's terrible, so I'm going to read it. Column one, you're listing the old shitty, and that's the belief. The main one, like, I'll never lose weight. I'll never get married. You know, whatever your belief is. My mom will, you know, never love me. It's too late for me. Whatever it is. Then underneath it is the book of lies. So if it's, I'll never lose weight because I failed every diet. I'm old. I'm in menopause. I got too many young kids running around. Short on time, Corinne. I'm a busy executive. I'm a stay-at-home mom. It's like, list all the old shitties, whatever they are. Then the second column is the not true, the disproving column. So all of these, you've got to go through and you've got to disprove them. So let's say I've got small kids at home. Well, it's not true. If nothing else, it's like, well, it's not true because at one point when I had my kids, I did lose 10 pounds. So it's not untrue that you can't lose weight. I just might not be doing it now, but you know, like 3 months ago, I lost 10 pounds. So you want to make sure you disprove them. Then on the far other side, it's going to be new hotness belief. And then it's going to be the book of truth. Why is that true? Because I'm in no BS now. Like whatever you want your reasons for your book of truth to be. Because I have time on my hands. My kids don't wake up until 6 a.m. I can get up at 5 to do my work, whatever it may be. I don't have kids. I can cook whatever I want for dinner. You know, what you can put those things in there. Then prove them true. Why are all these things true? This just gives you an extra level of work to do that will really help you. Your brain will now start seeing all the things. So column one is old shitty belief. You write him up there and then you list your book of lies. Column two, old shitty's not true. I'm disproving. And then you write all the disproving. Column three is going to be the truth, the proof. Four, new hotness. So you write all that. Column four is the new hotness belief, the book of truth. And you write all of those. You're going to be doing the way that I would do it if I was you guys. And if you guys want to mix the columns up, who gives a fuck? I don't care how you do it. The point is that you do this, right? I mean, some of you are just like, oh my God, what order do I do it in? The order that makes sense for you, bitch. That's the one. But I will tell you how Corinne would do it. I'd do column one. I'd find my old shitty beliefs first. And I would do all my book of lies. I'd probably go all the way to the other side of the page. I'd do my new hotness belief. And I'd do my book of truth. So now I've got all my thoughts. Now I know what I got to do in the middle. In the middle, I start off with what's not true. I'm going to disprove all the old shitty. Then we'll come back to column three. And I'm going to prove new hotness. The reason why I want you to kind of do it to where maybe you prove new hotness last is because there's something magic about the brain. It's like the last thing it hears, we kind of want it to be the best thing. So maybe if I was going to give you a pro tip, I'd probably do that one dead last. But again, guys, you cannot do these things wrong. When you are doing thought work, you're already ahead of 99% of the damn world. Give yourself some credit. Don't sit there and do like we always do, which is knock ourselves down a few levels because we're like, I don't know if I'm doing it right. Because your thought is, I usually do it wrong. I'm probably going to get it wrong. This isn't going to work for me. That's what the only reason why we sit around and do that is because of shitty little thoughts like that. It's a no. All right. So we had a question from Mandy. Oh, wait, Mindy. Do you have to have facts when you journal? Can you just journal about your thoughts and feelings? You can. And sometimes, like, guys, don't be shocked. You may journal and never find a fact. That's good to know. You know what that means? Your brain's a book of lies. Your brain is a fucking fairy tale up there. Just like, woo, let's write. Let's go. Do you got an editor? I would like to publish this book. It is some straight ass fiction that everybody would love. Here's the thing about your brain. Guys, you do not want your brain to be a page turner unless it's an amazing tale. If you're creating awesome stories, have your page turners. But if your page turner is reading like a Stephen King novel, we got work to do. So just journal and stuff, but see if you can find some facts. But it would be good for all of you to, when you journal, if you don't see any facts, you know what I would do? Push myself to figure out what are the actual facts. Where did this book of lies? Where did this Stephen King novel come from? Find that. And then some of you, you will notice you will have days where you will journal and it will be amazing stuff. Like you'll just be proud of yourself. That, like things are clicking. It's all going right. Oh my gosh. Those are the best days because it just feels good. Get you addicted to the journaling. Every day doesn't have to be a shit show of your thoughts. I would say for me, about 75% of my journal entries are things I got to do today, what I'm proud of, what I'm looking forward to, ideating, like coming up with new ideas to do things for you guys. And then every now and then, like about 25% of the time, I have days where I'm like, it's time to clean out this heifer. Like it's a mess up there. And then even when I'm doing some of that, what I would just call my like fun future thinking, here's where we're going, organizing my brain kind of journaling, there'll be a couple of thoughts in there that aren't going to work. Like it'll be like, I can't tell you how many times I'll say like, it'll be a long day. I don't want to think about my days as long. I want to think about them as productive, useful. It can be a focused day. It can be anything but long. Like, so it's like just looking for those little things. All right. We are at the hour. So I'm going to call it here. And that was the only question we had. So guys, if you have more questions, you can always take them to the Facebook group and you can be asking your questions over there. Me, the coaches, the community team, we're all prowling that Facebook group all the time looking for y'all's questions. But I will say this, if you don't hear from us, and there's like 10 or 15 responses from the community. If the community has answered it like a boss, guess what we're not going to do? Get in the way of our bosses. So many of you are so helpful. You're the all-stars. You are the rocks. You are the people that, you know, that like have such amazing influence over our community because you get into the group and you give back like no other. And I applaud you. And I will also tell you, if you want to know a powerful secret to success and a secret of mine. So back in the day when I'd lost my weight, I had went to the Weight Watchers message boards and started a thread. So back then, that was like the only place you could really talk about weight loss. So thank God those days have changed. But Weight Watchers had really good forums. They had old message boards and stuff. And I would go in each day and I would start a thread, basically. It was called a post. And then people could ask you a question and you could reply. And every day I would start one called Ask the Trainer. I had just gotten my ACE certification. I had lost my 100 pounds. And all I wanted to do was teach people what I knew. I wanted to teach people how to lose weight. I didn't know where to go, but I could go there. And part of it was I felt compelled to teach others. But I will tell you in the beginning, at least 50% of it was because it motivated me to keep my weight off. The more I taught what I knew, the more I shared my knowledge, what I had learned, my experiences and stuff to people who weren't there yet, the more my new identity as someone who was never regaining her weight, who was taking, who had taken authority over her weight and stuff, who was no longer someone who struggled with her weight, that identity got locked in and day out. Every day that I showed up for that group, I showed up there for months before the first time that I said, I had created a blog. What I'd noticed was that I was responding to these women and it became a popular thing. I'd have like 50 or 60 posts every day. And I had to get it done while Logan was in Mother's Day out. And it got to where I was having to go back at night to respond after Logan went to bed because my little Ask the Trainer thread was so busy. It was just growing. So I had to figure out a way to do it faster. So I started a blog. And when I would answer somebody, I would copy and paste and I'd put it in my blog. So then I could just link people over there. Then people wanted to know, well, can I get your emails? So that every time you do a new blog, I'll get it in email. If Lori Clary is here, she was one of those people. She's still a no BS woman to this day. And she started, her, Paula Wareham, they all started on the Ask the Trainer. Autumn Witt Boyd, several of the people here, they all started there. So I was like sending them emails. It took me months of doing that for my own reasons before I ever even said, hey, if you want help from me, like that's when I did my first version of I'm going to help people online and get paid for it. Because I had decided I loved doing it and that it was going to be, I just didn't want to work in a gym at that point. One, I had some like issues around, I didn't think I looked like an average trainer, but I also loved talking to people. I realized what I loved the most was helping people like believe in themselves and offering advice. So I tell you this because, you know, a lot of you are hesitant to ask in the group as if you are, you know, like it's a dumb question. It's been asked before. You're putting people out. You aren't. One of the things that I love about No BS is there are a lot of you who are Corinne's now who need that Facebook group to answer people, to talk to people, and to teach them what you know, because it makes you feel just a little bit better each day that this is really happening for you. It helps you lock that belief in that you won't ever battle with your weight again. So, for all of you that help us out and share so much with the community, we really appreciate you. And we respect your knowledge. And trust me, everyone, if somebody comes in and doesn't, like, I don't ever see it happen. Let's say somebody gave busted bullshit advice. Number one, we'd never call anyone out, but we'll add our own two cents in. So we're not going to let it go rogue. So you can always trust that community. I promise you. We watch it all the time and we have amazing people inside the group. And then for those of you who are not in Facebook, if you're just not a Facebook person, Ask Coaches is your home base. You can always take your questions there too. Okay, I got to get out of here. I promised myself I wouldn't cry today. Made it all the way through. Tail end. We're done. So there you go. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.